remind all participants, today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gisela. This is Mikey with his perennial request that everybody mute because we've got so many folks on the call. And I'm going to ask the operator to be especially vigilant today because we are probably going to have a lot of people on the call as usual. So if you find yourself muted, star 6 will get you off. The agenda today is pretty simple. Basically, what I would like to do is drag us through the list of items or atoms, depending on your point of view, with several objectives in mind. One, I just want to make sure that they're clear, and if they're not, that we can figure out ways to clarify the language. I don't want to necessarily discuss them on this call. That would be a very tall order. But I would like to quickly run through them, partly with that eye to clarity and partly with the objective of forcing us all to read them to begin the process of identifying any that might be missing. So that's really the goal for the call today. That's the only agenda item. There is a little time at the end for any other business. Does anybody have anything they want to put in that slot before we get started? Okay. Gisela, why don't you call the roll, and then we'll be off.
Absolutely. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's Vertical Integration Call on Monday, the 3rd of May. We have Mike O'Connor, Jeff Eckhouse, Keith Grazek, Basil Shah, Barry Cobb, Steve Pinkus, Tara Mustala, Eric Brunner-Williams, Nacho Amados, Paul Diaz, Richard Tindall, Sebastian Bachelet, Avery Doria, Jeff Newman, Alan Greenberg, John Nevitt, David Maher, Jean-Christophe Vigne, Brian Cute, Kathy Kleinman, Ken Stubbs. From staff, we have Margie Milam, Glenda Saint-Giry, Mike Zupke, Dan Holleran, Kurt Pritz, and apologies today, we have Stefan van Gelder, Roberto Gaetana, if he's not able to join the call, Dika Mpizani, Michele Nalon, and Jason Frakes has also just joined the call. I hope I haven't left anyone out. Over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Gisela. On your screen is precisely the same spreadsheet that you've already gotten via the list. I'm using the Barry Cobb version, but the difference is minute. And all I've done is I'm running it on my screen, so you don't have control over the page. Because what I'd really like to do is, if we can identify fairly simple things to do to change these to make them clearer, I'll just change them as we go, and otherwise I'll take notes and we'll drive those changes in. My plan is to just go as quickly as we can through the whole list. As I said, sort of a minimum of discussion this time around. My real goal is to get this to the point where towards the end of the call we can start treating this as close enough to be able to take it out into the weekly poll. And I'm going to ask the analysis team in the call that's coming up right after this one to help frame up the way that we poll around these things. But in the very end of the call we might take a few minutes to just brainstorm a bit about how we want to do the polling. I've got some ideas, but I'm very interested in yours as well. But as I read this, at least for me, the list was so overwhelming, I didn't really dive into it until I was preparing for this meeting, and I really think that it's useful for us all to look at this. And so I'm just going to work my way through them. If you are a person who is an advocate of this particular item or agree with it and feel that there are ways to make it clearer, I sure want to hear from you if there are. I basically want to hear from folks in general about ways that we can make sure that these are clear and can stand on their own. So, without further ado, oh, goodness, that was exciting. The first two are sort of related. They are basically reciprocals of each other. One of the notes that I took is that when we publish these, we'll expand all the abbreviations. Make it easier to read the RYRR thing. But in terms of the ones that you see there, anything that, I'm going to breeze through these fairly quickly. If there's something that you want clarified or change the wording, throw your hand up or just speak out. We'll go from there. I'm going to cut out a little bit. My phone's ringing, but somebody else is going to pick that up. The third one is the 15% control one. And again, this is really mostly about get that. Got a lot of people coming in. Get those out of the way. And then the fourth one is the same sort of thing, except it's saying subject to community review and a certain number of months, the number of months to be determined. Anything in there? I'm seeing a bunch of microphones. Is that folks have raised their hands? There, Jeffrey has his hand actually raised.
I think actually Brian might have been in front of me. I think we all had our hand raised, and then they were changed to microphones, so... I think he was in front of me.
I don't know.
I don't know, Brian, if you want to go ahead first. I believe your hand was raised before mine.
Brian, go ahead. Oh, and you're probably on mute. We're not hearing you. Second call for Brian.
Hey, can you all hear me?
There we go.
Hello?
Now we can hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. And thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that. Please believe me, I don't want the response to this question to turn into 15 minutes of chatter and confusion. It's a simple question, and I hope it remains that way. At the top, it says principle. Is what we're looking at a grid of the elements of proposals that have been submitted by the – okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just focus on the word principle. I know there's been some discussion on the list. Milton was involved in some of that. And I know that there is a, quote, evaluation team that is busy working away.
Analysis.
Yeah, we went from evaluation to analysis. Yeah. Pardon me. Thank you for that. Analysis. Do we really how do we intend the word principle here, or do we really mean the word proposal? Because
I could easily go with something like item instead of principle to make it even more granular or neutral.
It's that the word principle, I'm sorry to talk over you there, Mikey. The word principle is embedded with meaning, and Milton made a fairly passionate argument about the use of principles. So I just want to make sure in terms of meaning that if what we're looking at here is proposals or elements of proposals, that we be as accurate as possible. And if we're going to use the word principle in another context in the analysis group's work, that we just have a clear understanding of the difference. That's all.
Great point, and I totally missed it, but I went ahead and changed it to item for now. If folks are uncomfortable with item, why don't you ping me on the list about that? I think it's a good clarification. Jeffrey, now I think it's your turn.
Yeah, thanks. I have actually a similar point, but it's a little actually similar about on the structure. So, you know, I've read through this, and thank you guys for Mike Zupke and for putting this together, and Barry to making it look nice. So there were certain parts in there where, like, since I put a proposal in there, so, you know, I see my name next to some of them. But there are some other ones where, you know, unless the person proposed it specifically, it wasn't in there. But I would say that maybe people who proposed might accept elements of other proposals as theirs. I don't know if that's a useful exercise before the analysis team goes forward to say, hey, I can put, like, a DM or something, or an affiliate can put AF into a box where they agree with it as well, or so on and so forth, because it seems like we're so far apart because there's only little boxes, checks in some of them where there might be, I might have been in agreement with some other proposals, but I didn't specifically state that in my proposal. Does that make sense?
Yep, makes tons of sense. In fact, I'll send you $50 after the meeting. I think that what would be fantastic is if each of the proposal advocates could go through this and indicate which of the items they are in agreement with. That's at least what I heard you say, is that, you know, you might have found
that's
a
correct.
Lot of things on the list that you could also agree with. And I think to the extent that each of the proposal advocates could go through and indicate that, what we might find is that we have substantial areas of agreement, and that would be a very useful step forward. So is that sort of where you were headed to?
That's exactly, yeah, that was exactly my point. And hopefully it will make it, put a lot more X's or checks or whatever in the box, and we can sort of start working towards a middle position on as we approach Brussels.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I would agree. If before we go on to Avery, if anybody has a problem with that idea, this would be a good time to say so. Otherwise, what I'll ask Mike to do is circulate the spreadsheet as revised one more time and let each of the proposal advocates go ahead and pick off the things that they like, because I think that would be a really helpful thing. Avery, you're next.
Okay, thank you. I can be heard?
You can.
Okay, great. I definitely agree with that. I think one thing that will be interesting in that is that in some cases we'll think that in our proposal we inferred that we implied that we agreed with it, but when other people read it, they can't actually make the same inference that we're making. But anyway, the point I specifically, so it'll be an interesting exercise all around. The point I wanted to make was specifically on three. On three, it basically says specifically 15%. Now, I haven't been through all of them with a fine-tooth comb, but I'm wondering whether that one can actually be generalized to may acquire some percentage and then is filled into the blank if it's 15, if it's 20, if it's 50, if it's 5, et cetera, because I think that at least in discussions, maybe not in printed proposals, there was some variance on what the arbitrary cutoff would be or could be. So that was the only recommendation I made on three. Thank you.
Thanks, Avery. I've just run out of screen landscape, so could somebody check really quickly and see if there's maybe Zupke, you could jump in on this. Is there one that's got a blank like that we should point to, or shall we just generalize this one instead?
I'm looking ahead. I think there are some. If you look at, for example, the one that's numbered 35, it shows where there's kind of a placeholder, and then the different proposers could fill in the blank with their number. So I think we could do the same thing on that line.
Oh, okay. So we'll do that N nomenclature, N percent instead of N.
Right.
Oops, that's not so good. Let's try that again. That's better. Okay. Does that capture your thought, Avery, if I do it like that? Oops, maybe N%.
Not exactly. I had meant it for three. It captures it for four where I wasn't talking, but yeah.
Oh, I'm in the wrong one.
I had meant it, but it means it for both. I mean, it's any place we have a number that has been argued as arbitrary, I think that's a workable proposal.
Okay, so if I carry it back, you're right, I was on the wrong one. Like that.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I like that idea, because then we can get to the concept and then haggle over the exact number towards the end. Keith, you're next. I'm still on 1 through 4, and at some point I'm going to push this further, but these are all good general concepts, so keep going.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yep. Hear you just.
Okay, great. So thank you, and thanks again to Mike and Barry for their hard work on this. I think it's a very, very useful document. I agree with Aubrey's recommendation, and I think from our perspective, it's not necessarily a specific percentage that matters. I think you've heard us say this before. It's the question of control. So to the extent that we focus less on a specific, percentage number and more on the general issue, I think that's a good thing. My comment here is also a little bit more general in terms of principles or items or recommendations. Is that our commitment to a principle, and I'll use an example. Our commitment to the principle of using registrars equally, treating all registrars equally, something that Neustar is committed to. We certainly believe in that principle under the current construct. But if vertical integration were to be allowed, full and free in the marketplace, our commitment to that principle would change. So I just wanted to make the point that, while we are committed to a principle or to a concept, whatever the word is that we're going to use today, does not necessarily mean that we would stick with that if the landscape were to change substantially. So I think it's just important to note that there is the possibility that perspectives and positions could change depending on the outcome.
Yeah, and Keith, you've brought up a point that I've been sort of puzzling about as well, which is that these things, it's not quite the same point that you raised, but it's related, and that is that some of these things are interconnected. And if we, towards the end of this, we're going to have to go through and do some sort of reality check that things that we've put together actually make sense when they're put together. So I'm sort of mindful of that as well.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay, thanks, Keith. Kat, go ahead.
Kathy, it's okay. Kathy.
Oh, Kathy. I was wondering who Kat was. Like, new person. Okay, Kathy, I get it. Go ahead. Oh, you were there for a minute, but now you're on mute. Still can't hear you. That was weird.
She said she just got disconnected and will dial back in the chat.
Oh, thanks. This is a 60-year-old guy trying to multitask, and it doesn't work. Okay, I'm going to roll us ahead a little bit, and then when Kathy rejoins, we'll take her question. All right, the next batch is on your screen now. I'll just let you read them. Part of this exercise is to just sort of force us to read. Avery, to what extent do we generalize every 15% throughout? Is your idea that we would put that N percent in each of these? Any thoughts there? I'm sort of putting you on the spot, but...
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I don't mind being put on the spot. I would think so. I would think that the general, if we're going to use the word principle, and I use it sort of overloaded here, is that, in for example, in aid, a registry may not own more than some number. The principle, if we're calling it that, would be that there is some limit to what a registry can own. There is some limit to what a registrar can own, And then there were, as you said, you know, we could decide later that if indeed there is a limit, if there is, you know, rough consensus in the group that there should be such a limit, then we can figure out what that limit needs to be, and is there a one-size-fits-all limit, etc. So, yeah, I think that I would go, I would suggest that they were all N.
Okay. If anybody has a huge problem with that, this is a good time to speak. We'll sort of generalize the note, but I went ahead and changed those just so you could sort of see how these things would read. I think that it's useful if we can come to general agreements and then haggle over specifics like that. It makes it easier to drive towards consensus. And so I like the idea a lot. Let me check and see. Oh, Kathy's back in.
Roberta's joined as well.
Hey, Mike, this is Jeff Newman. Can I just quick on the N percent, just a quick comment, and then go to Kathy?
Sure. Sure, go ahead.
On the N percentage, is there a way to indicate that N percent is less than what equals control? Or so percentage does matter if it equates control.
Are you talking kind of about like 7, 8, 9, those? Because we've got control in the one. We've got it in number 3 up there.
Yeah, it's just weird because if you change all the 15%, because some people think 15% is control or whatever it is, I think it changes the meaning if for 7, 8, and 9, if it was just N percent, and N could be something like 90% or 100. I think it does matter.
Shall we add control language to these?
I think so. I think that's – but I'll leave that to – I mean, others that made the comment, like Avery, I just don't want that to get lost in 7, 8, and 9 and the others.
Yeah.
Mikey, it's Alan. I thought the intent was to put N here and then in the column for each proposal put the actual number they're using.
Oh, I don't know. It could, although...
I thought that was what Mike Zupke had referenced in item number 30-something.
Yeah, what we're dealing here is the concepts is what I'm really interested in. I don't want to necessarily get bogged down in specifics, but I think that the concept that Jeff is promoting is the concept of tying together the control with the percentage. And so I changed 8 and 9 as an example of that. And people have trouble with that generalization. This would be a good time to tell me. Otherwise, we'll take a note.
Mikey,
it's
Kathy.
Mikey, I heard somebody, but I couldn't tell who it was.
This is Kathy. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yeah, now I can.
I have trouble. Can we go back to number 3?
Sure.
Right now it's number 6, 7, 8. Thank you. I have trouble changing all the percentages to N because I think that there are the proposals have come out with very concrete percentages after a lot of thought, whether it's 50% or 100% or 0%, as the board put in. Can anybody hear me? I'm hearing a lot of background noise.
Yeah, there's a lot of background noise.
Mike, sorry, that is Roberto's line.
Say again.
That is Roberto's line.
Oh, is Roberto on?
He's joined the call, so I'm not sure if he's able to press *6 to mute himself, because if we mute him, then he can't speak.
Well, he's succeeded, I think.
He's gone on mute. Okay, apologies.
Thanks, Roberto. Great to have you on the call. Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, so I would like to see, if this is an itemization of every possibility, then I'd like to go back to the 15%. Because that a registry may not own or acquire more than 15% because that's not a hypothetical. I mean, that's something we threw out in our proposal, in the PIR proposal. And there are numerous other proposals that go to exactly that point for a reason, that it's not control, that it represents something very tangible and important in the proposal. So if you want to have an item that has N because a proposal wasn't certain of what percentage they wanted to offer, then that's fine. But some of our proposals were. Looking at number three, I had a second question. So I would have number
Wait, before you get to the second question, how about this for a middle ground? How about if we leave it N% like this, and then each proposal advocate, if they have a percentage that they are advocating in their proposal, when they fill out the grid, fill in the percentage, so that that way we sort of get the best of both worlds. We get the concept, but for folks who have thought through and have a specific percentage, we also get their view of what that percentage should be. Would that work?
I guess so. I've always thought a grid would work best on this, but if the idea is itemizing every variation of possibility,
This is iterative design.
Okay.
So, you know, this is iteration number one, and that's the primary reason for this call, is to see how close we got. We're all sort of inventing as we go here. But the thought would be that the grid could then show, you know, the agree or disagree could show that there's agreement to the concept, and the filling in of the blanks with the numbers could give us a more granular view of where specific proposals are at.
So are you saying that there'll be a grid, Mikey, that has at the top percentage of ownership that a registry may own of a registrar?
No, the
proposals, and we'll see zero, we'll see a bunch of 15s, we'll see a few hundreds, is that?
Yeah, I mean, what I was thinking is that we would see a grid. I don't know if I dare. I'm not going to dare to zoom out. But if you look at the original document, it's a grid with all of the proposals arrayed sideways. So there's yours and the Jeffs and Aubrey's and Milton's and Eric's. And, you know, there's a big... And so the thought would be that the next time we look at this grid... you would see this question, and you would see either agree to the concept or a number in the little place where your proposal is. And in the case of your proposal, that number would be whatever it is. Can't keep them all straight.
Okay.
But let's say 15%, just for sake of argument. And it may be that what we'll find when we do that is that we have a lot of repetition. Because what Mike was doing was going through every single proposal basically sort of in order and just capturing points as he came across them. And this list hasn't really been compressed to see if there's duplication. And that, you know, our next time through we may be able to do that. That is actually my hope, because it's a pretty tall list right now. And this generalizing notion is a good way to do that. So, that was your first question, but you had two.
I did. I wanted to know on number three what the last three words mean, without ICANN approval, because there are lots and lots of variations in the proposals about what that means, if you can get ICANN proposal, and under what circumstances. Is it exceptional? Is it routine? A lot of different variations on that, too. So... how is that all captured within one line? And thanks for walking me through this.
Oh, no worries. I think that, and put words in Mike's mouth, but one way to do this would be to add parenthetically at the end of this, see items below for details or something like that.
Or maybe to create... Can we create another column, another item that says, that has something about ICANN approval for exceptions or ICANN approval to go above agreed upon percentage, and then list for every proposal under what circumstances they'd like to see that change, if any. They'd like to see that ability to go over 15% in the TLD.
Hey, this is Mike. If I could just break in here. So
the goal
in doing it was, you know, where somebody said something like, in a proposal like, you know, this can't happen without ICANN approval, if they spelled out what the approval process was or what the criteria were. That would be in another section, sort of, you know, where some people say, you know, there may be certain exceptions. The exceptions are spelled out below, and so while they're not attached in this version, the goal was to say, okay, if at least this concept, you know, there's agreement on, then let's tackle that and say we agree, and then move on to defining the criteria. So while this is probably, you know, a little too broad or too vague for most people to say, you know, this is good enough, we'll just adopt this as our one principle and move on, you know, the purpose was this is sort of like, you know, one component of it, and then if the group agrees this component is the right one, then let's figure out what's all the detail that should surround it.
That makes sense, but when we're combining two different elements, it's hard to know whether you agree or not. I'd rather look at the elements separately, which is the approval for any kind of change versus whatever the main structural model is that we're looking at, like the 15%.
Right. So the idea I think behind doing it this way is that you know, we're no longer looking at necessarily any one proposal as the potential winner, but instead saying, you know, what are the components that we can put into this? And so, you know, I think as members of the working group, the idea is you could look at line 3 and say, this is workable for me or it's not, or I prefer, you know, the framework in number 4 or number 5. And so, if you say number 3 is workable, then, you know, then I think the group moves on to, you know, figuring out what are the details, and if not, that, you know, maybe lines 4 and 5 went out or something like that. And so I know that, you know, sort of trying to look at, you know, what the original proposers meant is kind of challenging to see in this, but I think that, I would look at this as more like a menu of options than as, you know, a piece of somebody's particular proposal, if that makes sense.
Great, and I also love the revision that just went in. Thanks so much.
How about that? Does that help?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Ken, you're next.
Yeah, I'm unmuting. Can you hear me, Mike?
You bet.
Okay, I'm going to try to accomplish two things here. Number one is I'm not trying to create a sense of urgency, but rather to try to focus on some sort of a coordination with the timeline. I'm getting a little concerned because this is a very esoteric exercise that we're doing here, and I think at some point in time in each teleconference, and we're getting closer and closer and closer to Brussels here, I need to get a better sense as a member of this group where we intend on going with this thing, because I'm afraid that it's becoming more complex rather than more clear. And I think the goal that we have to have each week is as we get to the end of a conference call, we need to have more clarity, and if anything, we need to start focusing more and more. I'm afraid that the models that we're looking at here, as we add more lines, as we add more columns, we add more complexity, and I think what we need to do is to drill down to make sure that we have specific concepts that there's clarity on, and I won't use the word consensus, but as we get further down the road, I'm hoping that we'll end up with a limited number of concepts that will be easy to discuss, easy to understand, and easy to move forward in a way that allows the board some sort of options that it can elect to take if it's necessary. Because you know, and I know, we ain't getting to a PDP by Brussels. We're trying to get someplace where we can give the board information that will allow them to understand that the community has clearly taken their call to action, is invested a significant amount of energy and effort in, and has arrived at concepts and even possibly even products that are clearly a message to the board that they weren't happy with what the board did. They needed something more. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Thanks for hearing me out.
Well, I know that we all share that goal. And, you know, there's always the darkest hour in a project. And we're sort of in that darkest hour. What we've done is we've spent a lot of time developing a whole ton of new ideas. And right now we're sort of at the peak number of ideas phase. But I think that what's going to happen, at least my hope is that what's going to happen, is that over the next week or two, this list is going to collapse a lot. That's part of of the reason why I'm so keen on the idea of all the proposal advocates going through and indicating which parts of this list they could agree with, because I think that this is the beginning of the winnowing part. Now, I have to add a caveat to that, which is that until the public comment period, well, the public comment period is over, but until the constituency statement period is over, we cannot close the door on new ideas coming into this list, because constituencies, some of them take a while to get things approved. That it takes a while to arrive at consensus. It takes a while to digest a lot of information. And so we're not quite done at the adding to the list phase, but rest assured that the goal is certainly to winnow this list down and find those places of agreement and present that clearly in Brussels. Eric, you're next.
Thank you. Scroll up to 3, please.
Pardon me?
Scroll
you're
up
very
to
faint.
Three,
I can't hear you very well.
Scroll up to 3, please.
I think I heard go up to 3.
Correct. In the core proposal, there was no seeking ICANN approval. The percentage was absolute. So we can't agree to 3.
Oh, okay. So maybe what we need to do is split 3.
Additionally, the difference between 15 and 40 or 60 or 80 or 100 or 0 is non-trivial. So putting N percent means that we will simply defer when we discuss the difference between a minority interest, a plurality interest or near majority interest, a majority interest, and an absolute interest.
Right, but that's what I was trying to get at, that the next pass through, each proposal presenter would
lose. You're just deferring where the actual discussion over the principle takes place.
Yeah, I'm definitely deferring it from today. That is absolutely correct.
My point is simply that you don't gain any clarity by changing 15 into M. Thank
All
you.
Right. Point heard. Thanks, Eric. Sebastian.
Yeah, I would like to support the idea of Alan or you and you, Mikey, to have the percentage put into the column in each proposal. And maybe it could be a little bit refined, and that people say that they agree if it's less than 15%, and they totally disagree if it's more than 45%, and in between they don't care. That it could be more lively. And in the same time, I put that on the chat just for it will be easier for you, my point of view, not put N for everything, because you have N for percentage, N for months, N for, and it's better if you put letter like P for percentage. And I would like to suggest P1 and P2, because you will have a different level of percentage already there. That means that it's not the same type of percentage. When you are going to the number 5, it's market share. It's not percentage of the participation in one other company. Then maybe it's better if you have different letters or different typology for that. Thank you.
Ooh, those are good ideas. This is the beauty of an MP3 transcript, is that I'm not going to try and drive that in, but I get the idea. I'm especially taken with the idea of people declaring ranges above or below which they can't accept a proposal. Point heard, and Zupke and I'll take that one under advisement and see if we can drive that in, because I think that's a good idea. Okay, lot of this has been general stuff that's very helpful, and you know, 8 and 9 are good examples of where there was a specific percentage in there before 15%, I think. And I think that it would be useful to have a range that said below 10% or above 40% or something like that would be something I couldn't accept.
Hey, Mike, this is Mike. Could I interrupt for just a second?
Sure, go ahead.
I don't mind taking as an assignment, you know, trying to clarify wherever there's numbers identified, trying to make that a little bit more logical. So I'll work on that for the next draft. So you don't have to necessarily mark it up in this sort of live version. My other question here is that lines 8 and 9, I believe you added NOR control to, and I think that was sort of at a question or a suggestion by Jeff.
Yeah, that was Jeff.
And it wasn't clear to me whether those necessarily should be changed because they don't necessarily reflect those proposers' comments, and so I didn't know if that was a change that I should. I'm keeping notes here for the next version. I wanted to know if those changes should be kept or if that was still kind of an ongoing discussion on those points or on that point.
I'm arriving at a general principle, and I think the general principle is that each of these should be as pure a statement as possible. Where we seem to get into trouble is where we've combined things. And so my immediate reaction is that we should probably back those out because we have another line, or we should make sure that there's another line in there that addresses the control issue so that each item is as pure as we can make it. I think that where things get in trouble is where we have more than one thing in an item, and they interact with each other like that. So that's my immediate reaction to that thought. Kathy, is your hand still up from before, or is that a new hand? Silence. I'm going to take that as an old hand and that you're on mute. Number 10, as an editor type, struck me as pretty big and pretty complicated. In our atomization struggle, I was wondering if this is one that needs to get broken up into chunks. I don't know whose proposal this came out of, but this one struck me as sort of a good example of where we get in trouble when we have an item that has too many things together. So if it's all right with the proposal advocate, Mike, I think it would be good to break this one into atoms and see if we can make that into a few discrete things.
So lines 10, 11, and 12 are all from the economists. And so, I did my best to try and break them into smaller and better English. but what I found was that, I wasn't really doing justice to what they were saying. I was, sort of shortchanging it. And so, I'm happy to try and take another pass at it. But with the understanding that I pulled this from basically a summary of their proposal. And so I can do my best to try and summarize it better, but I probably can't.
Well, actually, I don't think it needs to be summarized. I think it needs to be atomized. Let's take a run at clarifying those because I found those pretty hard to wrestle with myself.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thanks. And then the last one in this first section is registries and registrars must be fully structurally separated, operationally, financially, by way of control. We get into this multi-concept problem here, where One concept is that they should be fully structurally separated. And then, kind of like what we did up above with the conversation with Kathy, with exceptions noted below or something like that, so that we can break apart that part of the conversation, I think would be useful. Eric, go ahead.
As you could probably guess, I would prefer not to see single registrant present in this line item. And that's really all I need to say.
Okay. I think we're going to, I think single registrant is going to find its way into this document. But I would think that what we would want to do is break apart the exceptions to let people indicate which exceptions they prefer and which ones they don't. Because I do think it's fair for folks to be able to indicate that orphan PLDs are okay and single registrant is not, for example, something like that. Jeffrey, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Like, I think that that is a good way to do it, or just I think that one line would be structurally separated and then another line. I wouldn't even say with exceptions, and then, you know, it would be some people want structurally separated for all, you know, for every case, and then it could be another line that said single registrant TLDs, you know, could be integrated or that sort of. But I think we need to include all the different options, but I think they need to be on separate line items, because I think I agree with what you said earlier. The contingencies start to get really tricky on some of these lines. So, and I think if you separate, you might get more agreement, because somebody might agree with, you know, 75% of the contingencies, but not agree to it if it's all grouped together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's where, that's one of the big lessons I'm taking out of today, is that we really need to make, which is going to drive Ken crazy. Sorry, Ken, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as you think. I know it feels like it's getting very granular, but in fact, I think what's going to emerge is that there's a fair amount of agreement, and that then we can very quickly stuff this multi-line genie back in a bottle. Tom, you're next. Oh, you may be muted.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm here.
There we go.
Yeah, but my comment has to do with, I think there are assumptions that some of the proposers have had, or even the folks who put together this spreadsheet, and those assumptions need to be made explicit. So, you know, when you talk about market share, for example, I think people have a lot of different ideas of what market share means. You know, is it all domain names? Is it just gTLDs? Is it just a single TLD? That could be another discussion, but we need to put a stake in the ground somewhere of what we mean, what a boundary for market share.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Mike, when you're running through this again, because we've had quite a bit of discussion on the list about that topic, it would be very helpful to sort of, just as with exceptions, it would be helpful to let people weigh in on what they mean or what they think we should mean by the notion of market share. If you can figure out a way to drive that in.
Sorry, I guess I'm not quite sure what it is you're looking for here. Maybe you can
spell
it out.
Well, what Tom is talking about is, just to pose a few hypotheticals, one way to describe market share is total share of the international domain name market, all ccTLDs and gTLDs. Another, it's sort of the opposite extreme, is the market share in a TLD that the registrar entity wants to sell names in. And those are quite different. So to the extent that we can lay out two or three examples of that, and I look to others to maybe fire some in on the list, I think it would be helpful to have the market share atom followed by two or three possible definitions of market share that people could sign up for.
Okay. So in this case, you know, these happen to be from Salopin, right? So, you know, I can pull in their definition. You know, my kind of thought was, you know, a lot of these terms, you know, what one of these elements or items means is going to depend on how terms get defined. And so I think that probably is kind of a phase two that, you know, that's going to have to happen anyway. A lot of these things will have to get sort of defined. But, you know, as kind of a starter, I'll be happy to, you know, at least put in what the different proposers have where it seems like it would be helpful.
Well, and maybe let folks propose things. You know, we do have this sort of definitional problem sort of lurking around the edges of this. And maybe one of the things that we could do is explode those problems and throw them into this analysis and let people weigh in which of the definitions do they prefer, because I know that definitions is another stumbling block that eventually we need to drive to the ground, and might as well get a start on that now, because otherwise, you know, I think that, you know, this is a pretty important point, that if we're talking with different definitions about something, that's going to lead to trouble down the line. Eric, is that an old hand or a new hand? You're at the top of the queue, but I can't remember if you took your hand down from the last time. I'm going to assume it's an old hand, but if it's new, wave it at me. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just want to go back one sec. Mike, when you and Mikey and Mike, you said you would take out the notion of control out of that, I guess it was 8 and 9. Can you just make that a separate line item then?
Yeah.
Just make sure you include it. Otherwise, you kind of miss that concept. The other thing is, what's hard about reading this chart is that there's different ways of saying pretty much the same thing. And I guess that's going to be our job to say whether we agree. I mean, there's been no attempt to kind of merge some of these. So you took lines from different proposals.
I know precisely what you mean, and I think that's part of our job. It's also partly a job that I want to throw to the analysis team.
Okay, but the action item then, though, once we get this chart to where it's to be, is that each of the proposers go through it and fill it in, or is it just everyone on the call?
Eventually. Way down the road, we're all going to weigh in. Well, except me and Roberto.
Yeah.
But I think that what I would like to do, you know, I am also mindful, as Ken, of the passing of time. What would be very helpful is if the proposal advocates could scream through even this first rough draft.
Yeah.
And indicate which of the things they agree with. Understanding that everything's going to get refined, but to the extent that we can find areas of agreement quickly, that advances the ball. And to the extent that we find areas of vast disagreement quickly, that also advances the ball, because that tells us some things that we'll have to defer to after this sort of frantic scramble to get to Brussels.
Okay, so then the other comment is from maybe to help Mike Zupke. You know, I think in the economist proposals, I'm not sure the days actually matter. So it might just, if you could just put the concepts down about, you know, the application will be placed on hold for some period. You know, maybe it makes it easier to just get rid of the days and the formal requirements.
Cool. Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Ken, you're back in the queue. You're next. You're on mute, I think, too.
Mike, can you hear me all right?
No, you're gone.
Okay, two things. I try to make the point in the notes down below. We need to have clear definitions of what constitutes market share whenever we use market share in any of these principles, because it can be entirely different and the concept of relevance and materiality has a significant bearing on the proposals and the way that they're managed. And, you know, I just think that that's something that we really need to be looking at very closely. Thank you.
I agree. And I think that we'll take a stab at that. We'll probably iterate once or twice to get it just right, but, you know, we'll at least get some options out there.
Yeah, you have to be very careful if you're going to use Sollop and Wright's definition. You make sure that, see, 45 to 60% is not a definition. It's a guideline within the definition, but the divisor is extremely important. 45 to 60% or 40 to 60% of what?
Yeah.
You know. And that's the point I'm making. I'm afraid that if we're not careful, we're going to just hand somebody a tool that they can use any way they want to, even though the tool was never designed that way. And I think, you know, I don't want the end product of this being a window that everybody can climb through, because then we won't have accomplished what we were trying to do.
Well, and I think that's the essential balancing act, is between the pell-mell rush to Brussels, which we have to do, and yet getting enough detail and correct detail into the proposal that we don't run into that very problem. That's sort of the balancing act always. Okay, Alan, you're next, and then maybe
yep.
we'll roll on.
Am I on?
You're on.
Okay. I'm going to make a comment very similar to what Ken just said, but phrased in a slightly different way. I think it's important. It's not an issue of us signing on to which market share definition we like. The question is, which market share definition is being used in any particular principle or statement?
Right.
I can like any market share. I can live with any of many different market share principles. Is it the whole TLD world? Is it the GTLD world? Is it the particular GTLD we're talking about? But the question is, which context are we using it for any particular statement that becomes absolutely crucial? So it's not a matter of preference. It's a matter of defining how we're using the term, because it has too many definitions on its own. That's it.
That's a good one. Well, so maybe what we do is we struggle a little bit quickly to come up with the universe of definitions. Presumably there aren't that many, two or three I would think would cover it, and then have proposal advocates indicate which one they're using in their proposal. How about that for an approach? Take that as a try anyway. Okay, I don't know that we're going to hit our deadline of getting through the whole document. Fortunately, most of these are general points rather than specifics. And I think that Mike and I are getting a lot of good direction on where to take the document. But we're on to sort of the next chunk now. This cases where a registry or its affiliate registrar may create GTLD registration chunk. Again, we're looking for either clarity, clarification of these, or more of these good general concepts, or identification of key definitions that need to be made. Ken, you're up on the list. Go ahead.
Sorry, Mike. I forgot to take my hand down.
Oh, okay. Anything on the screen that people are reacting to? It's, you know, I'm perfectly delighted to scream through the rest of these very quickly, because it seems like a lot of the conversation so far has been in general rather than in specific. It's just triggered by what's on the screen. And if that's the case, we can take those pointers and drive them into the next draft. But if there's something that you see on the screen, it's going once, and then I'm going to roll down another chunk. Scott, go ahead.
Mikey, I'm sorry. This may have been covered earlier, but have we discussed the definition of affiliated?
No, that's a good. That's another good definitional quiz that we should add in. Can we have a quick discussion as to sort of what the universe of those definitions looks like? You want to take a try at that, Scott?
Well, a universe would be sometimes in the securities laws, and oftentimes in corporate documentation, they'll have an affiliate defined as ownership or control of 10% of an entity. But affiliates go both ways. They'll go as subsidiaries. In other words, a parent controls 10% of a subsidiary, or a subsidiary owns 10% of another entity or is controlled by another entity. So, in other words, it's a two-way street. And that's, you know, pretty much, you can use different percentages, but most of the time I've seen 10%. Sometimes it's 15, sometimes it's 5. And I'd defer to anyone else who does securities work more regularly than I do. I don't do so much of it anymore.
Does anybody else have anything to add to Scott's sort of range of options on affiliate? And then we'll build that into the... You know, it sounds like we almost need a section of definitions with these ranges of options in this. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I think that we do need to be careful and, like, sort of on saying because the securities laws are other, because, like, for example, we have, as Enum, you know, we have affiliate programs where we have marketing agreements where we partner up with other companies for strictly for marketing purposes. So, you know, you might, Mikey, join our affiliate program, and if somebody signs up for an account or if you refer people over to our site, you would get a payment. But you really, you can come and you can leave as you want, and the payments are fixed. So there's no real control there, and it's just a marketing relationship where both parties could leave at either time. And, you know, that is used a lot in hosting and other businesses and marketing programs of affiliates. So I think a lot of people might have that in their head as well. So we need to be, I think that's another term I would use, throw out, that people think of as an affiliate.
Yeah, that's a good, that's actually much more familiar to me than the securities law one. So that's at least a couple of items for our little menu there. Any more? Or does that sort of cover the waterfront? Eric, go ahead. Oh, you're muted, I think.
Takes a minute. I was happy thinking about agency rather than affiliate, because it does have that rather common and misleading meaning. We have the agency of the registrar, and then we have things that the registrar creates that carry its agency, such as resellers. So basically, I mean, I think we're struggling with the idea of agency rather than anything else. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Hey, Mike.
Jeff, what do you think of that?
This is Jeff Newman.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I don't want my – so this is from our proposal. I use the word affiliation for a reason. I don't want that changed to agency or anything else.
Okay. Which flavor of affiliate were you using? Were you using Scott's or Jeff's?
Affiliation has a specific legal definition. I know Enom uses has affiliates, that's what they call it, and that's more of a marketing term. So, but affiliation does have, like Scott said, a securities, but it also has a just general contract principle body of law. So, affiliation there is actually specifically defined in our proposal.
Okay.
So we have affiliation as defined by control. So that if you look at Neustar's proposal and also the Nevitt Newman proposal, it also has affiliation specifically defined, and we need to keep it that way. It's got a meaning.
Okay. Alrighty. Sounds like a good distinction. Anything else on this gaggle of items? I'm like an item. Nice and neutral. I'm going to roll forward unless I hear squawks. This is another chunk of them. Oops, sorry. That was small. assume Scott and Eric, your hands are left over from before, but if either of you want to speak, go ahead.
This is Scott. Just to follow up on what Jeff said, yeah, I think that the definition, and it is broader than just securities. I use that as my touchstone since we've talked about securities long before as an existing body of regulation. But if you take a look online, generally an affiliate is someone who partners with another person, and then control can be directed by contract as much as it can be an ownership interest in a percentage. I'll just leave it at that. I think it is deserving of an affiliation, or sorry, of a definition, but I did not mean it in the marketing sense. It's true that term has been adopted by IT and the software world for many, many years as goal partners and affiliates and so forth, but I did not mean it in the marketing sense.
I'm just wondering if we can drive that one to ground. Is there anybody who would object mightily if we took the definition of affiliate to mean the legal definition that Jeff and Scott are talking about rather than the marketing definition? Because it would be nice to get one of those knocked off. I'm not hearing overwhelming squawks of protest, so maybe we can take that as a tentative. We'll put in the two choices, the legal definition versus the marketing definition, and let proposers reference which one they mean, but maybe indicate that the legal definition is the preferred one. Anything else in this little chunk? I'll roll down to 22 on the screen. Again, what we're coming across here are good comments and questions, and I'm comfortable with the progress we're making. We're getting close to the end of the amount of time that I budgeted for this. Do people feel okay if Mike and I and maybe the analysis team take another pass at this fairly quickly and republish it based on the general concepts that we've talked about today? And I won't drag you through any more details. I think that's what I'm going to do. I appreciate all the... Oops, got new hands. Kathy, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, I had a question. I was looking at the various graphs and things in the different presentations. Has anyone discussed, and I apologize, I had to get off the call for a little bit, switching the axes and flipping the way the graphs are set up? It may give us more flexibility and more ability to kind of show where there's coalescing to have the horizontal on the vertical and the vertical on the horizontal. Is this the right time to raise that?
Why don't you ping me off list? I'm drawing a blank on which graphs you're talking about. So let's do that one either on the list or just one-to-one, and then we'll drive that to ground. I don't have any I'm not married to any particular format, but I'm not sure what we're talking about, and I imagine that
okay.
This will glaze everybody over on the call. So let's make sure we get it squared away, and then we...
I'll shoot you an email quickly because I know you're going on to an evaluation call on this. Great, thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Analysis team, not evaluation team. I'm the one busily trying to extinguish my own term there. I want to just spend a few minutes... Oh, no, actually, I don't have anything else. I was going to do something else, but I don't. So I think I fairly arbitrarily cut us off 15 minutes early, but maybe that's okay. Has anybody got any other business that they want to take up before we roll off this call?
Yeah, Mike, can you hear me? It's Ken Stubbs.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. There was a little burp there over the weekend for timing for a follow-up for Brussels. I just would like to get a current update on where we are with that, and then I'd like to make my case for Sunday.
I can tell you it's sort of the same thing I said in the email. We're sort of between a rock and a hard place. We don't have much control over this schedule. And so we sort of did the best we could with what we had, and I'm planning to take this back to Glenn and Stefan and Roberto on the leadership call on Thursday and see what our options are. So I haven't got any real news beyond what
Yeah, well, can I make a comment then?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. If you look at the concept and the principle of that ICANN established when they started scheduling these meetings and stuff, originally going from Monday through Thursday and Friday with board, now backing up into the previous weekend, Sunday has always historically been and is even listed in the schedule as a day for GNSO working groups. So I appreciate the fact that there may be some members of the working group, of which we have 63, roughly, that may be already engaged in meetings in either councils or ALAC or something like that. But the only thing I'm saying from a practical standpoint is that's what the heck Sunday was supposed to be for anyway, so I don't know why we wouldn't use it. Number two is I try to provide a basic time schedule to show people how it's almost impossible to make a Sunday morning meeting leaving on Saturday. You automatically add at least another full day in for a significant number of potential members of that working group. And all I'm saying, and one more thing, I've also made some phone calls. Many of the hotels have already booked out Friday night and Saturday nights, because it's very popular in Europe to do that. So as a result, it's going to be very difficult for people who would want to participate in this meeting to be able to change existing reservations. I think we're all aware of the fact that Brussels is not a very popular destination hub. Almost every way to get to Brussels involves going through another city in Europe in most cases. So that's the reason, that's my argument for Sunday. I recognize there may be some people that can pop in at any time, but that's not the case for the majority of the people on this committee, I'm guessing. Thanks.
Thanks, Ken. Well, as I said, we're gonna have another chat about it on Thursday. One of the tricky parts is that right now we're scheduled to present to the council at 9:30 on Sunday morning, and we felt pretty strongly that we needed to meet before then. Otherwise, why meet? And so we'll take all that. We certainly read all the notes on the list and message received, and we'll see what we can do. Look at all these hands. Let's see. Sebastian? Oh, Stefan's on. Sebastian, yeah. First, then Stefan.
Yeah, it was just to repeat what Cheryl Wright on the chat, but I sent a mail on that. It's that since this idea of days, Sunday for working group of GNSO, some other groups form within ICANN, then Ken, it's quite difficult to say that 7 years ago it was created like that, because ALAC is now meeting each Sunday at the beginning of the meeting, and we have a full schedule for this day, and it's difficult for us to participate to other meetings. But that's one point, and I think we need some time, and then I would like to encourage to have the Saturday meeting and the full morning to be used for that. Thank you very much.
Just a quick response to Sebastian. Sebastian, if you look at the current schedule, in other words, what I'm telling you is that ICANN, in the current schedule for this year, for that week specifically, has allocated it. Maybe that's a deficiency in the ICANN scheduling process, but if that's the case, it should be dealt with. And also, from a practical standpoint, it just seems to me that if we're going to make this work make sense, that there may have to be some flexibility on both sides. And it isn't just attendees, but maybe there's got to be flexibility in a council. I think this is much more important than a social breakfast for the Names Council on a Sunday morning, for instance. And I'm sorry, I believe that if we had to start on Saturday afternoon and carry over to Sunday morning in order to be able to get our work done, to have something significant for you and Roberto to report to the council on. If not, what you're going to end up saying is we had a few people who were able to get here yesterday, and we talked about a lot of stuff, but there are so many people that were unable to participate that we really can't crystallize all of the things that we'd like to be able to. So you're going to end up giving them a report that's at best going to be, no offense, it's not to you, it's just where we are, inadequate. And so the council is either, what scares me to death is the council is going to take it on themselves to do whatever they think is best, and there's minimal council participation in this call, and that wasn't the purpose of the council anyway in this case. The council is supposed to be moving along and facilitating, not making decisions. That is a scary thought. I'm sorry. If so, then you go right back.
Ken, I'm trying to break in here. One major point, and that is that it's our hope that we're going to be at a report before Brussels, and that we don't need a face-to-face meeting at all. I think that it's really much more fair to the people in the working group if we can finish the work before we have to travel, because the disadvantage for those who can't afford to get to Brussels or are going to be traveling is just overwhelming. So the primary goal here is to be done.
Then I have one request for you, Mikey, that you might consider, and that is a contingency plan that we call for, rather than doing it at the 11th hour, put in a contingency plan that calls for the possibility of having two teleconference calls a week for possibly the 2 weeks prior to your deadline for having a report ready.
Yeah, well, I'm all for that. And I'm using deadlines right now as fence posts. So our first major fence post is sort of the end of May. But in reality, I think that the drop-dead fence post is mid-June for having something done, because we aren't going to be presenting a final report in Brussels. We're going to Brussels for reaction and course correction to where we are at whatever we declare the endpoint to be. And our final report isn't due until some months after Brussels. So, I think there's a pretty good case to be made for not meeting face-to-face at all. But we, we're certainly listening, and we'll give it our best try in the leader group. Well, we've got a pretty good queue here. Stefan, you're next.
Thanks, Mikey. There's a lot of stuff to come back to here. I would agree with what you're saying as far as the need for a face-to-face meeting at all. I would question that if the working group, has been able to move sufficiently far ahead with its work to be able to present a report to the council. I take strong exception with what Ken has just said about being worried about the council deciding stuff. I take exception to it because I think it's a misunderstanding of the process. What the meeting with the council is supposed to do is to help the council being the body that initiated the working group, the meeting is supposed to help the council understand, ask questions, gauge the progress. That's the meeting on Sunday. It's not supposed to enable the council to come to any decisions on the Sunday. There's no decision scheduled. That will happen after the group has finished its work, and then that work will be taken back to the GNSO council, and the council will, through a motion or otherwise, decide something there. But in Brussels, it's an update, and it's an update that goes council towards working group ways. In other words, it's the council asking questions, and getting a sense of where the working group is, but above and beyond the work that I'm doing as council liaison and the co-chairs are doing, helping me out there, which is giving the council regular updates on the work that's going on. So what's the point of this meeting that we're discussing? It's to prepare the report that Mikey and Roberto will give to the council on Sunday. If that is needed, then really, to be honest, the only practical solution is to have the meeting on the Saturday. I think it's unfeasible to have it beforehand. And if you have it later, obviously it will be after the meeting with the council. So the real question is a meeting necessary? If the work has been done before, then probably not. And although it might be taxing to have two meetings for the 2 weeks prior, it may be a good solution, the one that Ken proposed. And, you know, if there is need for that meeting, then I think the only solution is to schedule it on the Saturday. I know it's not convenient for a lot of people, but what other solution could there be? Thanks.
Mike, can I respond to that, please?
Briefly.
All right. Two things. Number one, I hope to God we're not working on the timetable that you guys just described, because it sounds to me like you're going to have a report ready for the council, a final report that they can move on up to the board about anywhere from 60 to 120 days after the board would have wanted to have been able to make some sort of a decision on vertical integration guidelines. If that be the case, then hypothetically you have a situation where the entire process for finalizing the guide and getting these things out is held up anywhere from 60 to 90 days. I think what we have to do is we have to be realistic to realize that, number one, you're not going to get a PDP on this in any sort of a timely basis. If that's the only thing you're looking for to get the information to the board to help them make some additional decisions. They made a resolution. They can unring that bell if they decide they want to, and they can unring the bell on the basis that they've seen enough activity in the community and that there's enough clarification for them to realize that there were certain characteristics that they did not put in or did not necessarily have at their disposal when they were talking about guidelines for the deck. So all I'm saying very simply is let's not work towards some arbitrary deadline that could very well possibly be totally meaningless if, quote, a formal report ends up going to the board 3 months after the RFP goes out for these new TLDs. Just my own personal observation. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. We're now right at the bottom of the call. So I'm going to cut off commentary, and we'll take a look at that this Thursday on our leader group call. And I thank you all for participating, and we'll see you in a week.
Thanks, Maki. Bye.